Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this hour. Plus, we invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. That's our number. We'd love to hear from you. And I hope that you are withstanding the rigors of winter. Some of you may be listening to us from balmier parts of the country. I hear that people in the West have experienced an unusually mild winter. But those of us in the Northeast, particularly those of us listening to this program via WOR in New York City, it is officially the fourth coldest month in the history of recorded meteorology here in New York. The last time it was this cold, and I don't think many of you remember this, maybe some of you do, 1934. Okay, it's before my time. I really knew it. I knew that this was a historically cold winter because temperatures have dipped into the minus. And with a wind factor, wind chill factor in the morning when I walk to work, I usually walk a couple of miles to work. I'm trying to experience it, trying to kick old man winter in the face. And every morning I, undaunted, I head out, muffled and wearing my mittens and a hat. And the temperatures go from searingly painful. That's when you know it's in the single digits. It's searingly painful. It's an ordeal. When it gets up in the 20s, it's just moderately uncomfortable. Pretty bad. But, like the usual lowest winter temperatures. Some years it barely gets below freezing. And then it gets to just unpleasant. Anything above frozen, anything above 32 feels balmy now by comparison. I guess after you start banging your head against the wall, you feel better. And so hopefully the temperatures will abate. Beating the winter blues was the theme in our newsletter this week. And you can get 10 tips on how to beat the winter blues. Go to our website at drhoffman.com and you can download the article in its entirety. But number one tip is get a light box. Light up your life with a light box. And we actually give you some useful links that will provide you with information on how you can get a light box. Actually, best to get a light box around mid-October when the days get shorter to head it off. But you can get a jump on spring with a light box. Also, tanning. Tanning is actually one of the ways, even though it's highly it's highly discouraged. Tanning is actually a good way to lift your mood in the winter. I mean, if you can't afford to go down to Cancun or Cayman Islands, Costa Rica, you can get a boost of endorphins from a tanning exposure. And there is such a thing as safe tanning. If you take gamma tocopherol E and EGCG, astaxanthin, these are things that actually have a skin cancer preventive effect. And, no, you don't want to roast or burn. You want to have moderate sun exposure. But this thing actually helps you get through the rigors of winter. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll talk about energy drinks and how they derange school children in just a few moments. Also, what's next in diet? So chili peppers. Going to be the new vogue in diet supplements. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Mary in Brooklyn. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
I recently had a blood test to check my vitamin D levels, and they were really extremely low. I think it was like 15.
Yeah, that's in the deficiency range. Absolutely.
So my doctor prescribed vitamin D. It was 50,000 units.
Yeah, that's what they do. Vitamin D2 is the prescription form of vitamin D that doctors prescribe. Not me, but generally prescribe.
Yeah, I heard it was just kind of like basically useless. And,
no, it's not useless. It's only about two-thirds as effective as vitamin D3, which is a more active metabolite of vitamin D. But for some reason, you know, virtually all the vitamin D you get in a health food store is vitamin D3, with a few exceptions. The vitamin D that's in the high-dose prescription D, the 50,000, is vitamin D2.
Right.
So it's not useless. It's metabolically active, and at such high doses it will do something, but it's inferior. So when I have a patient like you, I give my patients vitamin D3 at 50,000, which we have in the office. I'm not sure we sell it, retail, because we don't want people to abuse vitamin D and take super high or dangerous amounts, but I give it to my patients in the office. I can get the vitamin D3 for them. So that's preferable. That's part one of your question, right?
I heard that you need to take vitamin K with vitamin D for
yes.
it to be, you know, to direct the vitamin D to where you want it to go, not where you don't want it to go to the, you know, the arteries. Is that true?
No, it's not so much that. It's actually, the interaction is a little bit more about calcium, okay? So let's talk a little bit about vitamin K since you introduced it. Vitamin K is really important for two reasons. It has to do with calcium metabolism. And interestingly, it helps put the calcium where you want it to go, but it also keeps it away from where you want it to stay away from. So there are three forms of vitamin K. There's vitamin K1, which is in green leafy vegetables, and that's most of what you get in the diet. And then there's vitamin K2, which you make. Actually, there are two types of vitamin K2, so MK4 and MK7. The vitamin K2 gets synthesized in your intestines. So actually, people who take too many antibiotics, it destroys their ability to make this essential form of vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is responsible for it like puts the address on the envelope for the calcium to go where you want it to go, away from the arteries and towards your bones. And of the two types of vitamin K2, one is MK4 and one is MK7. MK7 is the most metabolically active, and that's sold as a supplement. It's available as a dietary supplement. And I recommend that people who are concerned about osteoporosis and or cardiovascular disease take vitamin K2. I think virtually everyone should take it anyway. But if you have a healthy intestinal tract and if you consume like some fermented foods like natto, you'll make some. But, you know, taking a supplement is a good insurance policy. 45 micrograms or 90 micrograms daily is a good amount to take. And that's the thing that you're thinking of when you say, should you take vitamin K with vitamin D? Now, it's not a bad idea to take vitamin K with vitamin D, but actually the interaction is with calcium. And here's how it happens is there are two types of cells that are responsible for bone. They're the osteoblasts and the osteoclasts. Osteoblasts build bone and osteoclasts break down bone. Both are important for remodeling bone, but the osteoblasts make calcitonin. But calcitonin is dependent on vitamin K, especially vitamin K2, for it to work. So the calcitonin that your bone-building cells make to enhance the utilization of calcium to go into bone, you need the vitamin K for that to happen. So now there's been some discussion about, you know, people take too much calcium, might be dangerous, might end up in the arteries. So if you want to take more calcium to help your bones, how do you make sure it's not going to end up in your arteries? Make sure you take some MK7 of vitamin K2. There's actually a product by Jero called MK7, which is the product we use at the Hoffman Center. It's available at drhoffman.com and on websites. So that's what you're talking about there. And you absolutely need vitamin D because for your bones, but also there's some cardiovascular benefits to vitamin D and many other benefits, benefits for mood, benefits for autoimmune disease, benefits for immunity, on and on and on it goes. And, you know, so many things are vitamin D dependent. So for a while, you're going to take some, you know, you can take the vitamin D2. It's not bad. It's just not as good as the D3. But ultimately, you should settle on a dose of vitamin D3 that you get from the health food store, and you could take 2,000 or 4,000, however as much as necessary, even 5,000. that's necessary for you, especially in winter, to maintain levels of vitamin D above 40, at least above 40, maybe 50 or 60, so that you have optimal bone metabolism and immunity and all the things that vitamin D does. But you can kind of hurry up, play catch-up ball by taking the 50,000 once a week. It sounds like an astronomical dose, but now doctors are doing it, and your doctor will monitor your levels because he's now attuned to the fact that your vitamin D levels are abysmal. You need to get them up. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We'll talk about energy drinks that those cool kids consume. What are they doing to their brains? This is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, Kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with four key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. We'll get to that energy drink story in just a moment, but first let's talk to Lorene in Appleton, Wisconsin. How are you doing? Hi, Lorene.
Hi. Hi, you were talking about the vitamin K2.
Right.
I ran into a nurse. I have a brother that is extremely calcified, he's contracted, and he's calcified. She told me that that can loosen up, and she gave me this whole spiel, how and why, and she told me to get him vitamin K2, D3,
mm-hmm.
And get Epsom salt. Get them in a bath of Epsom salt.
I'm not making a claim that vitamin K2 is going to blast away calcification, arterial calcification. You know, like some kind of Roto-Rooter treatment. And I'm not sure about the Epsom salts. I love Epsom salts because, like, after a workout, after this cold, you know, this cold weather, it's like there's nothing like getting an Epsom salt bath. It's nice and warm, and it has magnesium in it. It helps to relax muscle spasms. But is it going to blast away plaque? I'm not sure. But vitamin K can be part of a healthy program for someone who has arterial calcification. Yeah, because it's going to help retard that and prevent it from getting worse. I'm not sure if it's going to melt away the calcium, though. That's a little far-fetched. All right. Let's talk about energy drinks. You know, kids are increasingly turning to energy drinks. You know, I see these kids walking around with these cans in their hands of Red Bull and Monster drink. And, yeah, they're supposed to be for people above a certain age. But young kids are consuming this stuff. And this is actually the answer to a dilemma for the soda industry, because a lot of people know that soda's bad for you. So people are increasingly turning to energy drinks, right? Now, that's an aura of health about it, and it stimulates your brain, makes you focus better. You can go to raves and you can dance longer, dance all night. But according to this new study, this study's out of England, so they refer to these kids as middle school children. We used to call that junior high school. Energy drinks significantly increase hyperactivity in middle school children. Those who consume heavily sweetened energy drinks are 66% more likely to be at risk for hyperactivity and inattention symptoms. This according to a new Yale School of Public Health study. They say, quote, as the total number of sugar-sweetened beverages increased, so too did the risk for hyperactivity and inattention symptoms among our middle school students. And it appears that energy drinks are driving this association. They say our results support the American Academy of Pediatrics' recommendation that parents should limit the consumption of sweetened beverages and that children should not consume any energy drinks. So zero tolerance for heavily sugared energy drinks if you want your kid to focus. You would think all that, you know, energy. Yeah, you know, it's like taking Ritalin. You know, it's going to help you. No, it doesn't help you focus at all. It makes things worse. Let's talk to Danny in Rockland County. How you doing?
How are you?
Hey, Danny.
Just a simple question for you.
Yeah.
I'm up there. I'm about 66 years old, and I'm looking at stem cells applications for dealing with some osteoarthritis at the femoral head of my femur and my right hip.
You're going to have them injected there?
Well, I'm getting a two-way spin on that, doctor. Mm-hmm. They're telling me, sure, we can do an interarticular injection plus mm-hmm. a little butterfly systemically. And the theory is, or at least what I've been told, is the stem cells automatically, by some way, hone in on where there's damage, and boom, you're fixed.
Right. Well, you know, okay, so stem cells research is kind of in its infancy, and they're having a heck of a time because they know that stem cells at least have the potential to regenerate organs. And so some people, I think, are jumping the gun and they're saying, okay, we'll just give you an infusion and whatever ails you, you know, the stem cells will find the place. And, you know, if you've got a bad, if your liver's like, you've got a problem, it'll go to there. If your heart's got a problem, it'll go. But it doesn't necessarily work that way. They're having a lot of trouble getting the stem cells to perform, to go to the right places and to grow and repair. When it comes to joints, the studies are equivocal on that too. I think there's great potential there for regeneration. But there's also a high degree of a placebo effect anytime you get an injection in a joint. So, you know, it might be worth a try for the injections. I don't know about the systemic infusions. I'm not there yet in terms of accepting that. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. This is Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. O'Hara takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Did you know that doctors recommend omega-3 essential fatty acids for kids and grown-ups alike? Nordic Naturals, the number one fish oil in the U.S., offers omega-3s for everyone. In fact, Nordic Naturals has one of the largest product portfolios in the world. Our best-selling Ultimate Omega is available in soft gels or liquid, both with a light, clean lemon flavor and no fishy aftertaste. This concentrated formula has been clinically shown to support heart health. For children, kids everywhere love Nordic Naturals Children's DHA, offered in great-tasting strawberry liquid or chewable soft gels. New Omega Boost is a creamy, delicious formulation of omega-3s. With its great mango taste and velvety smooth texture, Nordic Naturals Omega Boost is a great choice for the whole family. Nordic Naturals carefully manages every step of production of our omega-3 fish oils from boat to bottle, so you can count on Nordic Naturals to be exceptionally pure, fresh, and effective. Nordic Naturals, for kids and grown-ups alike. Available at natural products retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. What's next in diets? Well, chili peppers may be on the menu. And this is actually something I've known about for a while because we've been using a product in our diet. By the way, let me just say up front, I do not believe there is a magic weight loss elixir that's going to make the pounds melt off effortlessly without the right diet, exercise program, and an overall healthy supplement program. But candidates for thermogenic agents, things that are fat burners, include chili peppers. Why not? You know, when you eat a hot chili pepper, you just feel like you're on fire. And literally, they ignite your fat-burning properties in your body. Now, new study, this is reported in Science News. This is a researcher at the University of Wyoming. Dietary capsaicin may stimulate thermogenesis and energy burning by activating receptors in white and brown fat cells. White fat cells store fat. Brown fat cells actually help to produce heat. And so you can trigger energy production, literally fat burning, by using capsaicin. The problem with capsaicin, however, is that it's hard to take because, your hair stands up on ends, you begin to sweat, your face turns red. And so we've been using a product called Capsiate Natura, which is made by a Japanese company that's done a lot of research on taking away the sting from the capsaicin. It's a capsinoid. It's capsaicin-like. The product's called Capsiate Natura. Capsiate is spelled C-A-P-S-I-A-T-E, Capsiate Natura. And we got information on it on our website. It's by Ajinomoto Company, which is actually one of the biggest makers of amino acids in the world. If you get amino acids, you're going to likely get them from Ajinomoto. Well, they've done some research on this fascinating fat-burning substance, and we find that it helps to curb appetite. It helps people along the way as a catalyst for weight loss, and I really think there's something to it. Capsiate Natura, and more research is suggesting that a diet rich in chili peppers can help you burn fat. 888-302-3684. Next is a very interesting story about widely used food additives that are ubiquitous in processed foods may promote colitis, obesity, and metabolic syndrome. This research was actually performed, or at least funded, by the National Institutes of Health and the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. They've discovered that we wonder, why is there so much ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease? The numbers have skyrocketed, and it may be the hygiene hypothesis. We're not getting exposed to enough germs early enough. Maybe we're destroying our microbiome. We have an unnatural mix of bacteria in our intestines. We're taking too many antibiotics. But certainly some of the foods we eat may contribute to this. And some of the foods we eat are non-foods. They're chemicals. Emulsifiers, which are added to most processed foods to aid texture and extend life, can alter the gut microbiome composition and induce intestinal inflammation that may promote the development of inflammatory bowel disease. But at the same time it inflames the intestine, it may change our metabolism, making us more likely to gain weight and develop prediabetes or or outright diabetes. Now, what are these substances? Well, one of the mystery substances that we're consuming lots of is polysorbate 80. This is one of the reasons why I never eat processed foods. I prepare a lot of foods. I actually see what goes into my foods. I get natural ingredients, and I make soup or I cook food. So at least I know what goes into it. Prepackaged processed food, you got to read labels. If you're a careful label reader, you might be able to avoid these things. But even natural foods sold at health food stores, so-called, may contain emulsifiers. Polysorbate 80 is typically used as an emulsifier, allowing a food manufacturer to blend oil and water without separation. So like salad dressings, hello, right? It's found in pudding cups. It's found in canned pickles. It's found in whipped dessert toppings, such as Ready Whip, so that it's ready all the time. You know, the oil and the water don't separate. So it's emulsified, great. Barbecue sauce, cottage cheese. And so this stuff can literally rip up your intestinal tract. These are things that we advise our patients with colitis to avoid, obviously. Another emulsifier is called, this is a mouthful, carboxymethylcellulose, also referred to as cellulose gum or CMC, sometimes referred to innocuously as sodium salt. I said, you know, sodium salt, so sodium is salt, right? Oh, yeah, sounds good to me. But it's actually carboxymethylcellulose. It's a thickener, binder, and stabilizer in a variety of foods. It's even used in over-the-counter laxatives. Hello. Okay, you go to the bathroom, but you also create intestinal inflammation, possibly leading to colitis. It's even found in toothpaste, KY jelly, antacids, all kinds of different products, ice cream, dressing, salad dressings, cheese, icings, toppings, gelatinous desserts, even infant baby formulas, candy, cottage cheese, cream cheese spread. A lot of these products may contain carboxymethylcellulose, read labels, polysorbate 80. These are things that you want to avoid because, okay, so you don't come down with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, but you might develop metabolic changes that lead to prediabetes or even full-blown type 2 diabetes due to a disruption of your gut flora. This is a subject we talked about in part one of our program, so go to our website at drhoffman.com on Monday, and we'll post a podcast so you can hear the program in its entirety. But the gut flora, very influential in determining whether we're going to get a variety of ailments. And the artificial junk that we consume can harmfully modify your intestinal bacteria to lead to a variety of diseases. Even liver disease can be associated with this. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684. We got callers. We'll answer some questions in just a moment on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com. IntelligentMedicineShow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Want to optimize your sleep with proper nutrition? Well, we've done an entire Intelligent Medicine podcast on the subject of sleep and nutrition, and you can check it out at drhoffman.com. Just download the podcast, and you could subscribe to our podcast via iTunes. Lots of informative stuff in addition to this weekend program at drhoffman.com. Let's talk to Peggy in Princeton, New Jersey. How you doing?
Hi, doctor. I encountered an extremely stressful situation about a month ago, and subsequent to that, my body just started to shake. I was, like, so rattled by it. It started to shake.
Yeah, so that's why you have the term rattled.
Yeah, really.
Right.
So I've been taking your Jigsaw, which I had been taking anyway. I think it's a wonderful product. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I take something called Calm, and I take that often. And I also take Klonopin, but I'm still having a really rough time. It's still, sometimes I wake up early in the morning, and it's just, do you have any...
Magnesium, I think, is important in dealing with anxiety. It's not the end-all and be-all for anxiety, so it might be that your magnesium levels are adequate, but you're still experiencing some anxiety, and you know that needs to be dealt with in other ways. But one of the problems, you know, Jigsaw magnesium is a perfectly fine form of magnesium, but this is a problem that's occurring in your brain. This anxiety resides in the brain, not in your muscles. You know, you may be shaking in parts of your body, but actually the problem is from the brain. And so, you know, we've come up with a new form of magnesium that really is particularly good at crossing the blood-brain barrier. See, there's actually a barrier that prevents the absorption of many substances. It's designed to protect the brain from toxicity in the body. But it also hampers the absorption of certain nutrients. And there's a form of magnesium called protosorb magnesium, which we're now using, that is specifically targeted to people who have low magnesium levels in the brain, which may be due to stress or anxiety. So even a blood level of magnesium may show that there's adequate blood levels, but that's not your central nervous system levels. We'd have to do a spinal tap to find that out, and we wouldn't want to do that. So you might want to switch to protosorb magnesium as a way of getting magnesium into your system. Now, of course, that doesn't preclude, you know, other ways of dealing with stress and anxiety. You know, good talk therapy, that's all going to be important in helping to alleviate your issue, because we want to take a holistic approach. Theanine, also very helpful for dealing with magnesium, for dealing with anxiety. And omega-3 fatty acids, but they take time. You may need to take high doses, 3 or 6 capsules a day for a period of 6 months to get to levels that may help to take the edge off your anxiety. But, you know, anxiety is it's a problem that's amenable to nutrition. Sometimes nutrition alone doesn't completely address it because, you know, anxiety is real. You know, they're anxiety-producing situations in life. Let's talk to Diane. How you doing, Diane?
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Doctor, can you give me your opinion on sub-Q IgG therapy?
Sub-Q? Yeah, in other words, just like a little shot, like 3 cc's under the skin? For what?
I've been diagnosed with specific immune deficiencies of IgG. Mm-hmm. Always sick.
Yeah.
So,
but you're not getting it intravenously? You're not getting a bottle of it, IV, in the vein?
No.
Yeah. Well, because I'll tell you that I think that the sub-Q might help. That's just a small amount injected in the skin. It's easier. It's cheaper because the stuff can be god-awful expensive and sometimes not approved by insurance. Intravenous gamma globulin is the treatment, though, if you really have a documented deficiency of immunoglobulin G, and that can sometimes help build up your resistance to infection. So is it helpful for people who get sick all the time and they need it? It makes a difference. You know, sometimes this is amenable to nutritional support and, you know, things that we like to do to boost your body's own production, because that's the best way instead of getting an outside infusion. Transfer factor helps your body build antibodies, which are their IgG is among the type of antibodies you make to infection, but you also make IgA and other forms of immunoglobulins. These are things that help to protect you. Higher doses of vitamin D and C and selenium and zinc may be crucial for building up immunity. So, you know, I don't I'm not sure why they're just giving you the sub-Q. So I thought that therapy was a little passé. We used to do that, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, and now it's more or less accepted that immunologists give intravenous gamma globulin through a vein, and they give more, but it's got awful expensive, and it needs to be approved. Let's see if we can get to Eugene. How you doing, Eugene?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
All right. I have water retention in the legs, and I was prescribed this Lasix.
Lasix, yeah. Lasix is a diuretic.
Yeah. Is there any natural way to alleviate water retention in the legs?
Do we know why you have water retention? Do you have a heart problem, or do you just have poor circulation in the veins in your legs?
Poor circulation.
Okay, so, you know, Lasix will help, but Lasix is a medication that has a lot of side effects. It'll deplete your potassium. It'll deplete your magnesium. It can make you tired. It can even have an impact on the B vitamin thiamine. So, you know, if possible, and some people really have such bad circulation, they actually need the Lasix because they get terrible swelling. And Lasix from time to time can be helpful. But, you know, other things that are helpful, you know, consider taking pycnogenol, which is a potent bioflavonoid. There's something called horse chestnut, which in Europe has been shown to be as effective as elastic stockings in preventing accumulation of fluid in the lower extremities. That's something you might take. There's a vein support product by Gero that we use. I think we may have that listed at our website at drhoffman.com. Those are some of the things that you could also, I find generally when people swell and have water retention, vitamin B6 may help to act as a bit of a natural diuretic. Overall, a lower carbohydrate diet can help liberate the body of excess fluid. Many people report that when they go on an Atkins-type diet, they just pee like crazy and lose a lot of water weight. If you lose 6 pounds in a week on the Atkins diet, it's not because you're burning fat or you lost fat. It's because you're losing the water that you may retain. So sometimes a lower carb diet can actually have that effect. All right, some good news on the chronic fatigue front. Big article in the New York Times. A disease doctors refuse to see. Chronic fatigue syndrome needs effective treatments. There's more attention being given to chronic fatigue syndrome, and part of it is that the name trivializes it. Chronic fatigue syndrome understates the case because it's not just about you're tired. The new name for chronic fatigue that's been proposed is systemic exertion intolerance disease. And why is that? Because people who have this condition, you know, if you're fatigued, they suppose, you know, get off your butt, go outside, take a walk, you'll feel better. Well, no, that doesn't happen with people with chronic fatigue. They have exertion intolerance, hence the new name, SEID, or systemic exertion intolerance disease. And that's to the good, because one of the tests that they propose for this is a 2-day exercise to exhaustion challenge on a stationary bike. An ordinary person, you know, will exercise, even if you're sick, say you have, you know, some other condition, you exercise, you'll feel tired. The next day, you'll still be able to exercise. If you have true SEID, formerly called CFS or chronic fatigue, the next day you're going to feel hammered. You're just going to really be knocked out. You won't be able to repeat your exercise the next day. The other good news on this front is they're coming up with newer blood tests that help determine if you really have this debilitating condition. And the research of Dr. Mary Hardy, who's an expert in the field of chronic fatigue, illustrates that there are things in the blood, they're called cytokines, that can be measured that help diagnose chronic fatigue syndrome. So, you know, in the past, we've dismissed patients who have chronic fatigue syndrome as whiners, malingerers, people with psychological problems. This is sort of a wastebasket diagnosis, but more attention is finally being given to this, and that's all to the good, because it's an estimated that at least 1 million Americans are affected. We only spend $5 million a year on CFS research. That's $5 per person. that ain't good, because, you know, we spend $3 billion a year on HIV/AIDS research by comparison, and with so many people affected, we really need to come up with better therapies. We've been working to support patients with what used to be called CFS, now called SCID for many years, and hopefully we're going to come up with better and better therapies as the research rolls in. At least we can relieve their suffering with the right kind of support. Here's an item that is encouraging for sufferers of rheumatoid arthritis. Yeah, we talk about nutritional therapies for rheumatoid arthritis, and you know, not a lot of proof that they work. Well, finally, a study's been performed with fish oil. This has appeared in a major rheumatological journal, the Annals of Rheumatological Disease. Treatment with fish oils might be effective in patients with early rheumatoid arthritis. They gave omega-3 fatty acids, 3 grams a day. They found that that reduced pain, morning stiffness. Actually, in this case, they give nine capsules a day. 9 capsules a day reduced pain, morning stiffness, and the number of painful and swollen joints in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. Double-blind placebo-controlled trial. That's pretty good news for sufferers of rheumatoid arthritis. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you check out our website. Lots more content. Intelligent medicine stuff there. This is Intelligent Medicine.